Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. A little Mozart to calm your yappy schnauzer. This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer, and in the next hour, how one man's iPod helped rescue a slice of New Orleans jazz. To begin, although it began as a misquote, we still say that music can soothe the savage beast. What then about the dog who gets jumpy at a thunderstorm, or a strange visitor, or a ride in the car? Well, a book and CD called Through a Dog's Ear suggests that maybe Schubert or Chopin are just what Fido needs. The project draws on years of research and clinical demonstrations into the behavior of dogs and music. Joining us today from a studio in San Francisco is co-author of the study, Joshua Leeds. He is a California-based sound researcher and producer. And joining us for another perspective here in our studio is Dr. Peter Borschelt, an animal behaviorist here in New York, associated with the Animal Medical Center. Joshua, let me begin with you. First of all, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Now, classical music has been, I guess we can say, prescribed or at least suggested for many things, from insomnia to making your baby smarter. Why use it on your dog?
Well, in 2002, Dr. Deborah Wells, a behaviorist from Belfast, Ireland, came over to San Francisco and conducted a series of tests in dog shelters here as well as in dog shelters in Belfast. The goal of her research was to find out whether or not dogs actually were able to manifest any kind of musical preference. What she saw was that when she played classical music, heavy metal music, rock and roll, jazz, pop music, that there were very distinct differences in the dog's reactions, and that with the classical music, the dogs definitely calmed down, whereas with the other types of music, it in many cases caused them to become more anxious or to have a neutral effect. The classical music, though, certainly was the music that they exhibited the greatest degree of relaxation.
Now, when you say classical music, do you mean like, you know, big curtain-raising overtures, or do you mean more sedate, you know, slow movements like the excerpt from that Mozart sonata we were just hearing?
That's a great question, John. Where we picked up, following on the footsteps of Dr. Wells, was we were saying, all right, if we understand that classical music seems to be having a greater effect on the dogs, then how can we possibly improve that? In other words, is all classical music the same? For the last 20-some-odd years, I have been working with music and sound and the effect that it has on the human nervous system. And I have found certain techniques that have a big effect on the primary pulse systems, the brain waves, the heart rate, and the breath. And I decided to apply those principles in conjunction with the information that I was given by our veterinary neurologist and the co-author of the book, Dr. Susan Wagner, to see whether or not we could devise classical music that would be even more effective for the dogs. And in fact, what we found was that the psychoacoustically designed classical music in Through a Dog's Ear actually had a much greater effect than regular radio airplay classical music that would be found, let's say, on a classical music station in the course of the day.
So you tried this CD out, Through a Dog's Ear, on 150 dogs. And what did you find? I mean, were you putting these dogs to sleep?
On a certain level, yes, we were. What we did was we went into the clinical research with four albums, 4 hours of music. And they varied from the most simple with the slowest tempo. And when I say simple, I mean simple in terms of pattern identification, simple in terms of easy to absorb sonic information. And on the one hand, we had solo piano, slowed down tempos, and simplified arrangements of beautiful classical piano repertoire. And then on the other hand, we had far more complex orchestration, we had more complex melodic information, and we had faster tempos. And what we found was that the simplest music, the music that was made up of a solo instrument being a classical piano, beautifully played by concert pianist Lisa Spector, that this music had the greatest effect in calming the dogs.
So a prelude from the Bach Well-Tempered Clavier, a lot more effective than, say, The Ride of the Valkyries, which probably would have had an unintended effect.
Absolutely.
All right, let's let our listeners hear some of what you're talking about. Joshua Leeds, along with Dr. Susan Wagner, responsible for Through a Dog's Ear. And this is the Bach Prelude from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1, Number 1, the original arrangement, as you might hear it on a conventional classical radio station. Now let's hear the same piece, the same Bach prelude, played by pianist Lisa Spector, who is the third member of the triumvirate that put Through a Dog's Ear together, and this is the psychoacoustically enhanced arrangement. This is from the CD and accompanying book, Through a Dog's Ear, which suggests that classical music in the proper setting can actually soothe your nervous pup. We're speaking with Joshua Leeds, who's co-creator of the book and the CD, Through a Dog's Ear, along with Dr. Susan Wagner. And here in our New York studio, Peter Borschelt, animal behaviorist with a practice here in New York. Peter, what do you make of this? Is there enough evidence to support the ideas behind Through a Dog's Ear?
Well, I'm not sure there's enough evidence. I guess I could be the resident skeptic, but I don't want to be too skeptical. I mean, my wife and I have an old dog, and it sometimes gets restless, and she will sing. She sings Pretty Baby to the dog, and it calms the dog down. But there's touch, and there's massage, and there's closeness, and all that adds into it as well. I think the idea here of a psychoacoustician looking for the basic principles of tempo and patterning and sound rhythm is a really good idea. I'd like to see some research on the real physiological measures as well as behavioral, things like heart rate variability, that sort of thing.
Joshua, has that work been done either by your work with Dr. Wagner or by the Irish researcher, Dr. Wells?
No, it has not been done, and what we are looking for is somebody who will take our initial research, both the work by Wells and by Wagner, and take it a step further. We also would like to see that done. In our original study that I believe that Dr. Borschelt is referring to, we had 150 dogs. They were in four different animal shelters around the country, as well as in veterinary clinics and in homes. And it was basically anecdotal evidence that was filled out by very complex and very specific questionnaires that were filled out by the people who were doing the study and where they were watching the dogs over the period of 10 days. We also, to repeat myself, would love it if somebody who heard this program came forward and said, we happen to have a colony of dogs and a bunch of money, and we would love to be able to stand on your shoulders and take this research into the next level.
All right, well, now, as long as you're mentioning anecdotal evidence, I mean, I played this CD for my dog. Now, my dog is 7 years old. She's not really, running around the house a whole lot. As soon as I put this CD on, she was like, where's my toy? I gotta have my toy. I gotta play with my toy. Which was, I take it, Joshua, not the intended effect of the CD. Having said that, one of our two cats immediately plopped down in front of the speaker and was just kind of zoning out. Peter, is there any indication that sound can be species-specific, that it can be just dogs and not cats?
Well, there is, actually. There's a fairly long history of what we call production animals, farm animals. And there's studies that look at milk production in cows, weight gain in chickens and turkeys, egg production in chickens. And there is some evidence that classical music has historically been sort of leads to better results than rock and roll or loud noise like that. What's interesting here, what Joshua has done is try to find the actual features of the sound that seem to be most workable or most productive.
All right,
but yeah, there is evidence for other sort of cross-species effects here.
Let's open the phones and see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say. If you're listening at home with your dog, or I guess other animal, this is your chance to turn up the radio and, kind of test it out for yourself as we play some of the clips from the CD. And, if you have some experience with the way sound affects your pets, leave us a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org, which several people have already done. AR in Brooklyn writes that, as an experiment, I played some mellow Chopin for my dog after ordering pizza last night. Clementine barks madly at any delivery person or guest. When the pizza arrived, she barked a couple of times but was quickly calmed at my command, more than usual. I don't know if the music soothed her, but it definitely soothed me. And maybe she was picking up on that. Sure. Joshua, let me come back to you. I mean, a lot of the work that you did with these dogs really depends on the people telling you and sort of, interpreting the reaction of their animals, as I just did with, my dog and my cat. How reliable is that? How can you, how can you decipher the real animal response from the person interpreting it?
That's a great question, John. And there is no magic bullet that is going to work for every dog, just like for every person, whether or not it happens to be a pharmaceutical drug or whether or not it happens to be Beethoven. What we found in our studies with Pilot 1, we did it was a two-pilot, two-phase research, that over 70% of the dogs in a kennel situation and 85% in the home environment were found to be noticeably calmer, that 13% fell flat out asleep in the kennels, and over half, 57% fell asleep in the home environment. But what was then very, very interesting to us was that in Pilot 2, which was done with dogs with specific anxiety disorders, such as separation anxiety, thunderstorms, fireworks, or visitors in the home, we found that that in looking at both the intensity and the duration that was taking place of panting, pacing, barking, and whining, these were all behaviors that we were given to measure, that over twice as many anxiety behaviors were reduced with the psychoacoustically arranged classical music as compared to music from a classical radio station playlist. Now,
is there a control group? I mean, do you have a control group of dogs who are hearing nothing?
In this instance, no, there was not a control group. But what to me was of greatest interest was that we found that the dogs were reacting in an almost completely similar manner to the way that humans react, that the dogs were basically slowing down in relationship to slow tempos, and the dogs were slowing down in relationship to simplified sonic information. There's a concept that is called entrainment, and entrainment is, in this instance, whereby an external periodic rhythm will cause our primary pulse systems, being our brain waves, our heart rate, and our breath, to either speed up or slow down. We've never had any indication, and there's never been any study, as to whether or not dogs entrain.
Right.
They don't wag
Although,
their tails.
Centuries, even millennia before the word was invented, I mean, humans sort of instinctively, I think, understand the topic of entrainment. It's how armies throughout history have kind of stayed in lockstep with each other, whether that through the beat of a drum or the skirling of a bagpipe or whatever. So it's an interesting point that I want to pick up on in a moment, but we need to take a quick break. We'll hear a little bit of Chopin, see what that does for your pets at home, listeners. We're back in a moment with Joshua Leeds, who's one of the co-creators of Through a Dog's Ear, using sound to improve the health and behavior of your canine companion, and Peter Borschelt, the animal behaviorist based here in New York with a practice here in the city and associated with the Animal Medical Center. And later still, New Orleans trumpeter Irvin Mayfield shares the remarkable story of recovering music after Hurricane Katrina, and he'll perform live on one of the most amazing trumpets that I have ever seen and that you'll ever hear. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this is a very different kind of Pet Sounds. It's actually Schubert's music from an album called Music for the Canine Household. And we're looking today at the effect of music on animals, and particularly your dog. We're joined by Joshua Leeds, a California-based sound researcher, producer, and co-author of the book and CD, Through a Dog's Ear, and also joined in the studio by the animal behaviorist Dr. Peter Borschelt. Peter, Joshua was talking just before the break about entrainment, you know, sort of syncing up heart rate and things like that with the beat, the pulse of music. Can something like entrainment help when the dog's behavior has already begun? And the example I'm thinking of right off the bat is a thunderstorm, because, you know, unless you're living in Albuquerque where you can actually watch a thunderstorm approach over the desert, you have no idea till it's over your head.
Well, that's quite true. Well, actually, a lot of New Yorkers will say that their dog will start getting a little nervous, shaking, even though there's no indication of a storm at all. Because the dogs can probably hear the thunder from New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
But once they've heard it and started shaking, is it too late for this?
A lot of times it is. If it's a real serious problem, even medications don't work very well for that.
So how do we know if a dog is just stressed out? You know, we're not talking about a thunderstorm or a car backfiring. Just your dog is in an environment that is causing him or her stress. What do we look for?
I think just a general behavioral patterns. A lot of people ask me, are New York City dogs stressed out in general? And in general, I'd say no. You know, they live their life in the house, and they have fun, and they go for walks, and they're not afraid, and they're all housebroken, and they're not afraid of trucks or thunderstorms. The vast majority of dogs are not a problem in New York City. So they don't look like they're stressed out.
Okay.
They don't act like they're stressed out all the time.
Here's a comment from Jonathan in Brooklyn, who writes, asks us, is a request for us at Soundcheck, please refrain from playing any more dog barking on the radio, as my two Jack Russell Terriers definitely react to that sound and start talking right back to you.
That's another type of what we'd call unconditioned entrainment.
Let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners on the line have to say. Josh joining us from Nyack. Josh, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, my grandson Sam the dog. Whenever I would play my Mozart clarinet concerto, and I play it on the B flat, not on the A clarinet, he would howl. And after he finished howling, he wouldn't attack the clarinet, but he'd look into the barrel, making me think that he had theory of mind, because he wanted to see and hear where the music was coming from.
Now wait a minute. Are you being specific about the type of clarinet that you play this Mozart on, because your dog reacts differently?
Yes, I have a B-flat clarinet, and I have an A clarinet. Now, I prefer the A clarinet, but whenever my granddaughter is visiting me, and I'm very fond of Sam the dog, I'm predisposed to make him feel wanted, so I'll play it on the B-flat.
Wow.
And he howls, and then he comes, and he looks in the barrel, he wants to see where the sound is coming from.
All right, Josh, let me throw that back to the other Joshua out in California. Joshua Leeds, I mean, that strikes me as fairly amazing that a dog can tell the difference between, you know, an A clarinet and a B flat clarinet.
Well, it strikes me as also interesting, intriguing, and it warrants quite a bit more exploration as to what it is and how it is that not only do dogs hear, but how do humans hear? If I was going to retitle the book Through a Dog's Ear, I would actually call it Canines in the Coal Mine. And the reason why I use that title is because, similar to the canaries in the coal mine, I think that our dogs are reflecting something that is very important. Our conversation today is about the effect of music on the nervous system of the dogs. I specialize in psychoacoustics, the study of music and sound on the human nervous system, and have been applying these similar principles to the canines. But what we found to be of interest, and we have a hypothesis, and perhaps Dr. Borschelt would like to comment on this a little bit further, because it does tie into the consideration of the clarinet and exactly what is the story with the auditory function of our animals. We know that they are hearing greater ranges than we are. We know that their hearing is far more sensitive. We have a hypothesis that possibly noise pollution may be contributing to the increase in the animal behavioral difficulties that are really surfacing here in America. Well, one out of seven dogs has a behavioral issue. And our consideration is that if you have an anxious dog, a noisy environment will exacerbate that condition. And I know that
Let me ask Dr. Borschelt that, Peter. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you were just saying that you don't think New York City dogs, who are certainly in a noise-polluted environment, are any more crazy than anybody else's dogs.
Well, we see the same kind of fears and phobias in the country, real rural areas. And actually, sometimes the thunderstorm phobias are worse there because that sound is not masked by anything.
Right.
So it's really not clear that there's an... It is true that there's more and more, quote, behavioral problems, but that's probably a function of people being more and more attached to their pet, wanting to do something if there's a problem, and being motivated to deal with it.
All right, let's take another call. Diane joining us from Long Island. Diane, what kind of pets do you have?
This might be new for you, Betty. I have three house rabbits that live in the house with me and cats. And it's funny I'm listening to your station because I noticed, I did a little, like, study on my own. I happen to, like, you know, I'm 40-plus, so I like rock and roll. I would love to put rock and roll music on during the day, or I don't like hip-hop, but I've tried different musics. And once I put classical station on, everybody calms down. Like, rabbits have a certain way of expressing themselves when they're nervous, of course. If they're fearful of something, and if I put something loud and noisy, they get all agitated and nervous. But when, you know, I put the classical station, everybody calms down. Even my cats start jumping around, like when it's, you know, rock and roll or something really loud and noisy and agitating. And it's funny that you're all talking about this because I notice, like, if I go to certain pet stores and they have rock and roll or, like, hip-hop or something, you can just tell, like, the animals are agitated in the shop, and I think they're getting better with it now. Like, I've said something to them, like, why don't you put calm classical music on or something just to calm down the animals? So I just want to make a comment about that because I can't believe I'm listening to this.
That's a really interesting comment. I want to follow up on that. Diane, thanks very much. But first, before following up, let's give everybody else's pets, whatever species they are, a chance to experience what Joshua Leeds and his crew have done with the CD and the book Through a Dog's Ear. First, again, here's an example of what Mozart's sonata in A major normally sounds like. All right, now here is the psychoacoustic arrangement on the CD Through a Dog's Ear, played by Lisa Spector. That's Mozart's Sonata in A Major, a psychoacoustic arrangement, pianist Lisa Spector, Joshua Leeds, an authority on psychoacoustics and co-creator of the book and CD Through a Dog's Ear, with us from San Francisco, Dr. Peter Borschelt, animal behaviorist here in New York, with us in our studio. Joshua, does it need to be that slow, the Mozart?
I mean, no, John, what we're looking to do in this particular CD is to calm the canines down. In other CDs, for example, we have another CD that is going to be coming out at the end of May, and it's called Music to Calm Your Dog in the Car. We had so many people that were coming to us from the first CD and saying, we're using this in the car, but to calm our dogs down, which we really need to do, but the problem is we're falling asleep.
Yeah.
And so based upon that, and we actually say to people, don't play this in the car because it is designed to have a very specific impact on your nervous system and on your dog's nervous system. And it is designed to slow everything way on down.
Okay.
And
we're running out of time. And Peter, I want to come back to something that Diane had mentioned, which is the idea of having a pet store or a shelter even play this kind of music. What would that do to the environment of, you know, someone walking into an animal shelter, a North Shore or something like that?
Well, most animal shelters, you walk into the room and, of course, one dog barks, then you've got 20 dogs barking. And it's pretty stressful, I'm sure, for the dogs and certainly for people. So if something like this worked well, I mean, it really would be a good thing to try.
All right. Well, let's take one final call. Robert here in New York. Robert?
Hi there. Good afternoon.
What kind of animal are we talking about here?
We're talking about a very wise cat named Drizzlepuss. And Drizzlepuss actually did the research these gentlemen are talking about 45 years ago.
How old a cat is Drizzlepuss?
Well, Drizzlepuss is in cat heaven, I'm afraid.
Ah.
But this was in Los Angeles, and there's the equivalent of a QXR called KFAC, or there was, and there'd be 2 hours of classical music, and we noticed that the cat was always on top of the radio. Now, these radios had tubes in those days, so we thought it was the heat. But it wasn't the heat. It was the music. We would turn it to talk, say, a newscast, and Drizzlepuss would leave the radio, jump down, go to the floor. And we'd turn it to jazz. Drizzlepuss would leave the room.
Wow.
She was very selective.
A finicky cat. What a surprise.
And she did like Bach, by the way.
All right. Very nice. Robert, thanks very much. You'll have had the last word. We've been talking about music and how it can affect dogs specifically, but pets more generally. Joshua Leeds and Dr. Susan Wagner and the pianist Lisa Spector all involved in Through a Dog's Ear, a book and CD subtitled Using Sound to Improve the Health and Behavior of Your Canine Companion, and Dr. Peter Borschelt, animal behaviorist associated with the Animal Medical Center here in New York. Joshua, Peter, thank you both for being with us. Fascinating discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And still to come, New Orleans trumpeter Irvin Mayfield shares the remarkable story of recovering music after Hurricane Katrina, and he'll play live. You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck.